Talk to your doctor.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Newsmakers talk to Emily Kopp on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe.
We are not going to sit back and do nothing on this. I am not going to allow this organization to drown in red ink, and I'm also not going to be in a situation where I'm standing there expecting somebody else to take care of our issues for us.
Hear the entire interview online at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to talk about all things TSP. And remember, this morning is Monday, September 26, 2011. And to lead the chorus is Greg Long, Director of the TSP?
Yes.
It's a longer-winded title than that, isn't
Executive
it?
Executive Director of the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board.
Oh, but boy, do I stand corrected. All righty, and Tom, and I'm going to do this low. Trabuco?
Very good, Bob.
Yes, first time in however many years. Good morning, Tom, and you
good
can
morning.
Do your title, too.
Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board.
Okay, great. And Tammy Cupcake Flanagan. Tammy, I didn't mean that derogatory. She brought cupcakes in to celebrate
your birthday.
My birthday.
Can we announce it?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. And Tom Trabuco's retirement coming up this year, which I don't think that's really going to happen, but he says it is.
It is going to happen, yes.
And Ann's 99.8% retirement.
Morning, Bob.
All righty. And Tammy, of course, is the Senior Benefit Director of NITP, Weekly GovExec, columnist, seminar provider, email answerer, knower of all things federal. And Ann Vincent.
Yes.
And what are your parting title? What is your
parting title? Oh, I want to be a speaker on transition to retirement now.
Okay. Well, you've been directing it for how many years?
22.
Wow. Anyway, and I'm Bob Lines. I'm an accountant finance type, and I guess that's largely what we're going to do this morning. So why don't we jump right into the Roth TSP? And if you don't mind, could we say Roth TSP and traditional TSP, like you say Roth IRA and traditional IRA, so people can follow us because we're going to be moving fast. Is that all right? Or you do it?
Yep.
Listen, you're the boss here, so whatever you want to say, I'll follow.
We'll say Roth TSP, and we can certainly refer to traditional TSP and then Roth IRA. And
okay.
It's probably one of the most important distinctions we'll make when we talk about this morning is that Roth TSP is meaningfully different in the rules than a Roth IRA, and it's one of the most important distinctions that a potential investor needs to know.
What do you figure the launch date roughly will be?
Second quarter of 2012, and we are on schedule. We're meeting our milestones to put that launch that on time. However, we will reassess as we get closer to that date.
Okay, that's very important for FERS people to recognize that date because they will be different than CSRSers if they want to maximize it.
Yes.
Okay, we'll get to that later. That's a little bit in the weeds, but that's kind of a huge difference for those two folks. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry.
Well, so we are anticipating the launch of Roth TSP, second quarter 2012. It is a very big project for us. It touches all of our record-keeping systems, all of our forms, communications materials. It touches my accounting team, the finance team, the information technology team. So it is a large project with multiple moving parts. But so far, we are on schedule and meeting our deliverables. We do anticipate that we announce this through our annual statement in February of 2012 to our 4.5 million participants, and that we go live sometime in the second quarter.
Okay, spending the last 3 weeks getting ready for this show, I read everything I could about the Roth 401k, the Roth TSP, and I was aware, but I was probably not fully aware of the accounting that has to be done with regards to a Roth TSP, Roth 401k. It's mm-hmm. totally different than the traditional 401k.
It is substantially different, and so now what we have to do, and this is why it is such a significant project for us, is as money comes in, those contributions, we need participants to distinguish between whether they want that money to continue to go to the traditional TSP account and the money that's pre-tax, or do they want it to go to the Roth, effectively post-tax? And so we need to track those two sources of money differently on the way in. We need to track them differently anytime there's a inter-fund transfer or an exchange between funds. And very importantly, we need to track them separately on the way out. So anytime somebody wants a distribution, then they've got to tell us which source do they want the distribution from. And that needs to be distinguished on our forms, on the web, via our telephone systems, and that tells you why it's such a big project for us.
Now, for those of you all listening to that, we won't go any further than what Craig said. This is highly sensitive tax-wise as to what you call what, as compared to the traditional 401k TSP. It's all taxable.
Yes.
But here, it's totally different than the Roth IRA.
Well, some of the important distinctions between the Roth IRA is what is what you can roll over. The rollover questions are a big one, and also the what's called an RMD. So there's a required minimum distribution that you need to be aware of that is on every 401k plan and the TSP, and inside of the Roth TSP, those rules still apply. So at age 70 and a half, you need to tell us exactly what you want to do with your money and start taking it out. If you don't, there are penalties. A Roth IRA doesn't have those penalties.
That's only if you're retired by then or have left federal service,
yes,
right? Because I know I get a lot of questions from employees saying, I'm over 70, do I have to begin distribution? And I tell them, no, you can continue to contribute until after you retire.
Yes, you can.
And the same will be true of the Roth.
And Tammy, thank you for clarifying. There are some other important distinctions in the eligibility. Can you do a Roth IRA? Can you do a Roth 401k? One of those important distinctions is upfront is the Roth IRA is income limited. At certain dollar amounts, you are not eligible to do a Roth IRA. There are no income limits on the Roth 401k or Roth TSP. There are also different dollar limits as to how, if you are eligible, how much can you put in? Where the Roth IRA is limited to $6,000 if you're over age 50 or five if you're less than age 50. The Roth 401k has higher limits, total amount $16,500 that you could potentially put into either the traditional or the Roth source.
Which is the same as the traditional TSP limit, and then you can also do catch-up contributions
as
well.
Yes, and that's one of the important points that we try to drive home is that with the advent of Roth TSP, nobody is going to be able to put a nickel more in their TSP account. They just have to decide whether they want it to be traditional or pre-tax or whether they want that to go to post-tax or Roth.
Right. So that's not changing. And we don't know yet if that limit's going to raise for next year or not because that's dependent upon Congress, I guess.
Yeah, the IRS rolls that out once a year. Or maybe it's Department of Labor. But we get it once a year. From them, and it's based on they look at their standard
probably
rates.
By November, we usually know.
Usually November or December we get that.
Craig, I know Tom and you get emails, and Tom, I don't know whether you reply more to them than Craig does. I don't know. But when you get emails, just baby stuff, not sophisticated stuff, what are people asking about this, or are they asking about the Roth TSP? Yep.
To be perfectly honest with you, Bob, I'm not getting many questions on it. It's more, you know, you all are interested in pursuing it because of your journalistic bent and you want to follow what's going on and report that. But I don't sense any great appetite out there for it yet. And this kind of fits with what we learned when we looked at it, because the Roth does have appeal and great appeal to certain groups. But for the vast majority of people, it doesn't provide much, if at all, of a benefit over the traditional treatment.
I'm getting mild curiosity in the seminars, because every once in a while you'll have one person raise their hand and say, what about that Roth that's coming with a thrift? When's that going to happen?
Right.
And then once I tell them sometime next year, then that's the end of it.
Right. I do find that there is interest among the uniformed services members, and this is what we expected, because, of course, through the traditional plan, they get the same tax benefit that everyone else gets. However, if you're a young service member, you generally don't make much money, certainly not much taxable money, if you're being sent over to dodge bullets, because that's all tax-exempt money that they earn. So the tax break just does not mean as much to a young service member as it does to someone who's a bit further along in their career and who's looking for a tax shelter of some type. So we do get a number of questions from the uniformed services on the status of Roth.
And this is just my gut. Somebody in that position at a lower tax bracket may, in fact, be a whole lot more happy at the end of the line that they did the Roth TSP, because the tax benefit doesn't mean that much to them at that age, like you say, because a good bit of it may be non-taxable, and they're not paid a ton to begin with, so that their tax savings is smaller, which is to say they have a whole lot more time to leave it in there and grow. Truth of the matter is, if you put the max or whatever you put in using the same dollar amounts into the traditional TSP or the Roth TSP, and it grows in the exact same investment, at the end of the line, there is no difference in the total.
If when you take the money out, it's at the same tax rate that when you put the money in,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the logic that drove us a couple of years ago to decide to pursue Roth was driven, at least in part, by the benefit that we saw for uniformed services. This was one of the more compelling arguments in favor of it, and that's because if you're 20 years old and making a relatively small income, then you pay virtually no federal income tax anyways. And so the benefit to the traditional TSP contribution was smaller. So now if you make that taxable, you're still paying relatively low tax, and that could grow potentially for 40 years. And then you take that money out, it's already been – you've already paid your taxes. So you get 40 years of tax-free growth. That is a compelling financial argument. And so when we took a look at that, in addition to several other arguments in favor of Roth, we decided that it was worth the time and effort, and it is significant time and effort, in establishing a Roth program.
Yeah, and you say significant. We've been on the show together for a few years now, and I bet has this been in the works 2 years?
Over 2 years, yeah.
And it's not because you all are inefficient, because that's not the case. It's that complex, and you can't put something out to a diverse group of people like the feds and not have every proverbial I dotted and T crossed.
Well, there's a couple things, actually, is that this was the Thrift Savings Plan Enhancement Act of 2009.
Right.
2009. And that President Obama signed, and it had multiple enhancements in it. So we couldn't do them all at the same time. Immediate contributions. That was what changed, removed the waiting period for new Fed when they joined the government, that they now started earning contributions immediately. Then automatic enrollment. Then we created the spouse beneficiary accounts, and this is the one that that's the fourth big change that's driven by the TSP Enhancement Act of 2009. But we have been working on it for over 2 years, and now we're gearing up, so this is our primary project.
I always use that as an example to the employees when they always say, well, Congress is going to take away our benefits. And I'm like, well, over the past 23 years, I've actually added quite a few benefits, and that's one big example of it, that yeah. There's been some big improvements all along the way, even going back to 1987 with the TSP evolving over those years with more expanded options and more flexibility for the employees.
And yes, I agree.
You haven't seen anything being taken away from it.
No. and one of the things I've been very pleased is that the provision for automatic enrollment has started to do exactly what we wanted it to do, which is slowly started to get new hires into the federal government participating in the TSP, and our overall participation rate has slowly but steadily edged up over the last year. And eventually, we expect it'll go from in the low 80s to now mid 85.5%, and eventually up to, we think, 90% participation, which means that you have several hundred thousand more federal employees participating in the TSP than would be otherwise. And that's more people who are going to be able to live in dignity in retirement. That's a big deal.
Well, that is a big deal, because under the old retirement system, basically all you had to do was work 30 mm-hmm. years. But under the new retirement system with the TSP, you have to participate, and you got to do it early. So it's really hard to get that word out to young people. Because I was in a seminar, it was a mid-career, but I had someone who had just been hired like 18 months ago, and she was right out of college. And she said, well, us college graduates, we can't participate because we have to pay rent, and we have all these expenses and our college loans to pay off. And I was like, well, you really have to find a way. I said, you know, either lower rent or, you know, consolidate the loans, because it's inevitable. You have to do it.
So, and when you miss it, it's hard to catch up.
Well, that's the thing. If you wait 15 years, you can't go back and make up for lost time, because that compounding. And I love the magic of compounding that you have on the website. And I saw a video recently that the TSP put out that talks about the magic of compounding. And I think that's really what the new employees have to really understand what that means.
Right. All right, we're going to open these phones up in 3 minutes. So there was one thing I just wanted to ask, and certainly I shouldn't be the only one talking here. Planning tools. On your website, you redid the website a number of months ago, and you've got that federal ballpark estimate on it. Mm-hmm. I've had a discourse with one of our emailing friends, and we're talking about the fact that maybe their retirement seminars or mid-career seminars have been cut back with the budget, but with what you have and what OPM and with the retirement readiness and the Department of Labor with their thing, but your it's not your ballpark estimate, but I'm sure you had a huge influence on it. It's just for feds.
And I do need to underscore that point, that it's not our estimator, but it is a very useful tool. And so the federal ballpark estimator was created. Actually, we were not active participants in that. We were aware of it. We gave our 2 cents. But the primary players in that was the Office of Personnel Management and the Employee Benefit Research Institute, EBRI, which is a nonpartisan think tank in Washington that's very helpful on these issues. And so those two groups got together to create that. And it is a beneficial retirement planning tool that we link to from our website.
And it should be looked at early and often, because if you look at it late, there's a big red light that says you're not retiring, or you don't want to eat for 3 years, so because you have to save that.
But to add to the planning and tools on the TSP website are two tools I use at every seminar, because I point out the kind of estimating your future account balance tool that's to be the user's friendly tool that's out there. And then when we talk about withdrawal options, if I have the internet at a seminar, I'll walk them through how to calculate a monthly payment versus a life annuity. It's a wonderful option to kind of explain what those two options really are and how they're different.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, because I think that's what employees need to know, is like, you save up all this money, you have this pot of money, what do I do with it? So I think it helps to see that it actually can be income, you know, to add to your other income that you have.
And that's one of the key messages that we've been delivering and working on delivering better, quite frankly, is the people are now moving from the accumulation phase to the decumulation phase. They've grown significant balances, and they're in position like Tom here, who's thinking about retirement sometime soon. And the question now is, how do you turn that amount of money into your future paycheck?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's key to even getting young employees to save, knowing that there's a means to the end. Like, I'm not just going to save until I'm 92. There's going to come a point where I start to use it,
right.
And it's going to be very necessary.
Right, and it does help with the younger employees. But one of the benefits all of us in this room have is that we were once young, and we remember what it's like. And that's why we pushed for automatic enrollment,
yeah.
Because no matter how much education you put out there, people have to avail themselves of it, and they have to be grabbed by it. They have to be convinced that that is the right thing for them to do.
Yeah.
And I can remember as a young man, I was looking at either saving for retirement or that Pontiac GTO. And I want to tell you, the GTO spoke to me.
In a loud and clear voice. And was it red?
No, actually, it was tan.
Okay. Anyway, it's 10:25. It's September 26, 2011. We're live for another half hour, so don't call us after that, but do call us now at 202-465-3080. And, Andrew, were they patient enough to hang on? Good morning. No.
Maybe they'll
okay,
call back.
I actually got an email question. It's a little bit on what we're talking about. Somebody's going to be retired by the time that the Roth TSP is available. Will they be able to transfer money in from their traditional TSP to the Roth TSP if they're retired and assuming they're over 59 and a half?
Will they be able to transfer money from the – say that again? From
the traditional TSP. Mm-hmm. To the Roth TSP, but they are now retired.
Will they be able to convert?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No. Yep.
Okay.
That would pretty much be the same for employees who have money in the TSP already. They won't be able to move that or convert it over to the Roth.
Yeah. There is it gets a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
But in general, if you have an active employee under 59 and a half years old, and they're in a 401k plan somewhere. There is no mechanism for, and this is not us, this is IRS. There is no mechanism to recharacterize that, to say you have pre-tax monies, let's change that and now call them Roth monies and pay the taxes. There was a Small Business Job Protection Act in 2010 which changed this on the margins for people that had money that was already distributable. In other words, they're over 59 and a half or separated. And we'll be taking a look at that at the future or in the future at some point. But in general, monies that are in pre-tax accounts cannot be converted to Roth accounts.
Okay. What I could mention here is, and I never would mention anything that's aggressively illegal, they could transfer the traditional TSP money into an IRA,
mm-hmm.
clearly fully taxable. And then if they transferred that into a Roth IRA, they'd get pretty much the same bang for the buck, but they are going to be taxed if they do it.
Yes.
They would get that protection, and then they might try to mirror the TSP's investments, which Tom brought in an article from the Journal this weekend. You can do it. You may not equal the low administrative fees, but you may be able to parallel it. You guys are going to shoot me for saying that.
No, that's fine. There's one more point, though, that we should make at the end of it. If someone is thinking, well, I know under the rules I can transfer my IRA into the TSP, and that is correct for traditional.
Only the fully taxable portion.
That's right.
And they have to sign an affidavit.
That's right. The tax code does not permit transfers of Roth IRAs to either a Roth 401k or the
right.
Roth TSP.
Okay, we got a caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Fire away.
Okay. You've been talking a lot about younger employees, but if somebody is in the scissors system and is scheduled to retire like 12/31/2011, what do you recommend we do with that traditional TSP?
You don't have a choice. The Roth TSP won't be available to 2012.
Right. I think she's just asking in general, what do you do with the money in your TSP?
Load up on the traditional TSP. You know, if you have the cash flow to do it,
yeah.
And you haven't maxed, you can pretty much put most of your salary, not all of it, into the TSP. It's called front loading.
But, Carl, you're asking about after you leave the government?
Once we leave the government, yeah.
Yeah, then you have the option of partial withdrawal, transfer to an IRA, monthly payment, or annuity. And then it's going to depend on what you need the money for and when you need it as far as which one of those withdrawal options you're going to choose.
Okay.
So that's going to require some, I guess, a little financial planning, some tax planning.
Yeah, or a retirement seminar or listen to one of our shows.
I've got to tell you, I've been to the retirement seminars. There are usually too many people and too much inside jargon. You know, you've got...
You haven't been to ours, then.
Then you haven't been to ours, nor...
I'm afraid you assume that people know the language of financial...
We don't.
Planning.
We don't.
Yeah.
We talk pablum.
That's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do with ours is... I'm not trying to sell you anything, because the company sells nothing.
Gotcha.
You can email us questions. We would hope that you would have gone to one of ours, but even if you didn't, we'll answer it.
But the other thing I'll add to that is because you are retiring this year and you're probably aware that there's a delay in the processing of your retirement. Have you heard that it's really taking on average, and this is just the truth, 6 to 8 months to finalize a retirement case?
I did not realize it was that long.
Yeah. So while you're in that transition period, you'll get partial retirement checks. But if you find yourself in a situation where you do need money, you do have that option for a partial withdrawal from the TSP. But if you take advantage of that, keep in mind that that's going to add to your taxable income for that year. So just weigh that against using that as your source for getting you through that time.
Yeah.
But I think having your retirement scheduled for the end of the year, have you been saving up your annual leave this year?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Because that's what most people rely on to kind of carry them through that transition period until your retirement gets finalized at OPM, because your main source of retirement income is going to be your civil service retirement.
Exactly. That's why I was wondering, you know.
How many years service do you have?
Oh, jeepers, it's 40-something.
Oh, well, you won't need your TSP. That's going to be money to take that cruise or put a new roof on the house or remodel your kitchen or that GTO.
No, because I still have two post-grads at home looking for work.
You can help them out then.
Yeah, incidentally, I'm hoping that the federal hiring freeze lifts pretty darn soon.
Well, that's a whole other subject.
One other comment I might make to you, and I thought this legislation was dead in the water. There was something introduced a couple years ago where somebody would, it was never passed, this was introduced, that they could use their accumulated leave to fund the TSP. And in your case, retiring at the end of the year, if this does get legs, it currently has no legs. But I was reading literature recently where somebody's poured some fire on the coals, and Tom probably knows a whole lot about that more than I'll ever know.
Right. But
that's very interesting. With the Congress we got right now, though, they're probably shut
down. Well, this guy's a quasi-member of the Congress, so...
Don't accuse me of that, please.
The smart one.
The
not your fault, no.
But on those contributions from unused annual leave, there is great interest in doing it. However, there's also a significant price tag of $317 million in revenue foregone for the government. So that has been the issue. That's what stopped it 2 years ago when it was moving, and it continues to be a significant obstacle to enactment.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Thanks. I appreciate your help.
Can I take a little tangent here? Because there's a lot of discussion today. I read, you know, you should buy an annuity, you should do this or that, and you just don't buy an annuity. You've got to do a lot of homework. But one of the options with regards to the thrift is somebody can take a piece, all, or whatever they want of the thrift and purchase an annuity, and that is through Metropolitan Life. I mean, it's through you all, but Metropolitan Life runs it. And as I remember, that was put out to bid a couple times anyway, and MetLife has won it each time. Why? Because they're big, they're licensed in all the 50 states, which they have to be, and they're safe. Is there any kind of competition coming up anytime soon that you're aware of?
Yes. All of our contracts that we have with agreements that we have with vendors work on a schedule, typically 5 or 6 years. We'll have a relationship with a vendor, and that will automatically go back out to market to be bid to make sure that we get competitive and best pricing. The agreement that we have with MetLife to provide annuity services will come up for bid again next year, 2012.
Okay. And it generally has to be a big company that is in every state.
Oh, we will have requirements for what any company that bids has to do. And one of those requirements must be that you must be licensed in all 50 states, including the District of Columbia, in order to do business with us. And there are several of the largest insurance providers that could meet that requirement. And then there are multiple other requirements that we'll have for what any competitor has to do.
Okay, great. Now, we've concentrated on the Roth TSP, but there are other issues. Latest statistics, I was marveling at the amount of dollars that have been put into the G Fund in the recent, I guess you'd say, froth in the investment world, where, you know, you read this other stuff, they just borrow the money from the G Fund and the like, and I think it's a lot of just misinformation, because the G Fund really is a loan to the government.
That's right. You've hit the nail on the head, Bob, and this is what it's counterintuitive to many people. They hear G Fund and what they think is lockbox with dollars in it. That's not what's there. The G Fund consists entirely of securities issued by the federal government. When a G Fund investor makes an investment in the G Fund, the Treasury takes that money and uses it to pay for government programs. In exchange, it issues a security, which is held in the G Fund, which is a guarantee to pay. And that's what is in the G Fund when everything is operating normally. This year, as has happened a number of times in the past, we had a debt limit, a hiatus. In other words, there was a period of time when the federal government, in order to pay its bills, has to have Congress has to authorize it decided to in World War I, it would put a maximum amount on the amount of federal debt outstanding, and it has maintained that limit, increased periodically over the last 90 years. At any rate, as they approach the debt limit, and remember, this is money that's already been these are commitments that have already been made. We're just paying for these things. Congress has to raise that debt limit, and that always leads to a political debate. And in our case, if they can't issue securities to the G Fund without breaching the debt limit established by law, G Fund investors are guaranteed nonetheless to receive earnings. So there are two possible situations when it comes to the G Fund. Either there are securities issued which guarantee payment of interest, or there are no securities issued, and in that case we have a federal law that says interest will be paid.
And it just sits on the side, but they pay it back within a very short period of time when the ceiling is lifted.
That's correct. And what they pay back, of course, are the securities. That's what was not there. They make the securities whole as to what they would have been.
But it doesn't affect the participant's ability to put money into the G Fund or to withdraw money after they retire.
Absolutely
not. So they still can do the same things they did regardless of what's happening internally with that fund.
That's right. We were very fortunate in 1987. We got legislation enacted that gave us the authority to do that. So we are able to just maintain operations as if everything is normal, because, in fact, everything is normal. There is a law in place that guarantees that these individuals will continue to accrue earnings. Consequently, we continue to show those earnings in their account balances and in those funds, and they can it's their money, and they can do with it what they will.
Okay. We're not endorsing the G Fund to be the sole investment in one's TSP
profile. We don't
need
to. It's already popular enough.
It is, but I think it's one that can be understood, but I'm not so certain is totally understood. People, and with all due respect, sometimes get lost with the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index or these other indexes. They need to understand it, but the G Fund, that's a government. But what I get asked in class is, how come I can't find one of these in the outside world? I can't find a CD to pay that. I can't find a government interest, not a bond, so it would be a note. Certainly not a bill. And I said, well, they do a special calculation to reward you for being a federal employee.
So it
really is a perk, because it's not available to anybody that isn't.
It is. It's not available to anyone that's not a federal employee in the form of an account. However, the Social Security Trust Fund is invested in securities that are very, very similar to the securities that are issued to the G Fund. In fact, it's the same calculation.
Is it the same for the Civil Service Trust Fund, the Retirement Disability Fund?
That's correct. That's the way the government
kind of all follows that
funds.
Same.
That's right.
And I guess that's also why whenever you pay interest on money that you owe to the retirement fund, it's very comparable to the G Fund rate.
Correct.
Although that only changes once a year, and this one changes monthly.
You're absolutely correct.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Okay, good.
All right,
it is very popular, because I was looking at the latest statistics at the end of August, and basically what almost half, a little less than 45% is in the G Fund.
45% is in the G
Fund. Does that say anything about TSP investors, or do you ever try to extrapolate what that really means is why that's so popular?
Well, in periods of significant market volatility, it's especially what we've witnessed since 2008, I don't think it's terribly surprising that people search for safety. And if you are looking, if your priority is safety, the G Fund is a wonderful investment.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for long-term growth and you're 25 years old, you probably shouldn't have all your nickels there.
That's right.
All righty. Mandatory distribution with the Roth TSP. Again, not to compare it to the Roth IRA, but people have heard Roth IRAs longer than they have Roth TSPs. Roth IRA, there is no mandatory distribution at 70.5. And in fact, I think one of the two of you, I don't remember which, talked about it as a very good estate planning tool. Because sometimes those Roth IRAs are not for anybody in this room or maybe even listening. It's for future generations. Lifetime of tax-free growth. Nice. But with regards to the Roth TSP, as well as the Roth 401k, so it isn't a negative against the government plan, there is a mandatory distribution at 70.5, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct, yes. A Roth TSP account holder, the rules are similar to a Roth 401k. So any other 401k out there in America could have a Roth feature. And just like the Roth 401k plans, any account holder that holds Roth money is subject to required minimum distributions. So at age 70.5, you got to figure out what to do.
Okay, if you're separated.
Make sure
you keep your address up to date after you leave, right? Because don't you give them a notice that when that comes about?
If we do not receive a withdrawal election by that date, then we send multiple notices telling them that you've got to do this.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you wish you did.
Yes.
Okay, and just another comment. When you hear the term mandatory distribution, it's got the first word mandatory that people don't like, and then there's a misconception that some large amount has to come out. It's less than 4% for the first few years, and then it creeps up to 4 and a little over 4. So it's not a lot that has to come out, but the term, nobody likes to be told what to do. However, we like to be told what to do when somebody's on the line. So good morning.
Hi. I have a question about your TSP distribution that you were talking about. It seems like there's so many different ways you could take a partial. You can do the annuity. Is there a calculator, or if not a calculator, some way that someone can go and see what's the best option to exercise?
Yes, Tammy looks like she wants to answer that.
Oh,
go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to say, because at the seminars I walk my students through the TSP calculator. So if you go under Planning and Tools at TSP.gov. There's a monthly payment calculator that lets you calculate both a payment where you would decide how much to take every month versus one where it's based on your life expectancy. And those are both payments that are coming out of your account where the balance can continue to earn interest. And then there also is a calculator using that annuity that we just talked about, where you're going to basically take the money out of your TSP account. It goes to MetLife, and they distribute it to you based on your life expectancy and whatever features you add to the annuity and the interest rate. So, yeah, those calculators are available. I think it pays to walk yourself through all three and also consider what are some of the advantages of having that money at your disposal by possibly transferring it to an IRA. So you can actually take advantage of all four options.
This is really an orchestra leader leading the orchestra, because there's a lot going on here. But beyond, you know, what you can and can't do, what do you want to do?
So what do you need it for?
And if you don't really need it, does it go to a future generation? Now, if it goes to a future generation and it's in a taxable environment when it comes out, somebody would say, well, that's not good. Well, you might have a charitable desire upon your passing, and that charitable desire could be funded by the fully taxable distributions from one of these things. Now, I know I'm probably driving everyone crazy with this, but it isn't just, well, how much money do I need, and they're making me take out more. It's also in concert, as one of the financials once said, this is a succession of moving parts.
But we also have a volunteer contribution account.
No, that's a whole other story. We have a whole show on that.
If at the retirement, if we want to do a transfer, as you and you have all recommended, Tammy, I think, also recommended it, and switch it to a Roth.
Well, you got to be extremely careful with that. Can you do it? Yes. Should you do it? You need to understand the rules. And on that show, if you don't want to listen to the first half, I would just listen to the second half, because that's devoted to the voluntary contribution, the benefits as well as the sirens on the shore.
What was the date on that show, Bob?
July 11, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And print out the PDF. The PDF is on the website. Print out that first, because when Tammy and I are talking about page this, that, or another, it follows in sequence. Yeah. And it gives you the caution flags as well.
Well, what are the cautions?
This was an hour show. The caution show is it could, underline the word could be aggregated with your thrift. It's not clear that it will. Nobody seems to want to give the answer. But if you really want to dig into this, read IRS publication 2009-75, rather IRS notice 2009-75. Please don't read the first half, because you'll be asleep. Read the second half, and you'll definitely be put to sleep. But
we've referenced is almost like a classroom, hour-long class on that.
Right.
So I think if anyone has questions about voluntary contributions, that would be a good place to start. And you do list the cautions very clearly.
But if we're going to retire soon, right now.
Mm-hmm. The show will be the same whether you listen to it when you hang up or whether you listen to it from a week. Nobody knows the answer.
Oh, wow.
And at the time of the show, I thought I had the answer within 3 weeks. I was wrong. However, I'm looking for a test person that I could write an IRS revenue ruling, but it has to be a real person that has one of these things. So if you want to, give us a call off the air, and we'll be glad to put you in the seat.
Well, what is the penalty? If you did it wrong, is there
real fast. I mean, we can't spend much time on it. You got $100,000 in the VC, you got $100,000 in the thrift. You move the $100,000 out of the VC into a Roth, figuring that you'd pay no tax. IRS notice 2009-75 whiffs at the idea that you would pay tax on half of it, because the two numbers would be added together.
But we don't know that.
We don't know that. There's a way around it, and I talked about that. It's called a recharacterization, but it's not for today. It's just too long. I'm sorry.
All right. Appreciate it so much. Thank you so much.
Talking about withdrawal options, I was out in California last week, so I wanted to say hello to the probation office in Sacramento and Fresno. But a big question came up during that time, because we have a lot of employees, not only law enforcement, but also people taking early retirement, who are going to be leaving federal service before they're 55 years old. And, you know, we always throw out the caution that depending on how you withdraw the money from the TSP, you could face an early withdrawal penalty. Because any distribution taken before age 59 and a half, you have to be cautious of. And the one that most federal employees can get around that is the fact that if you separate in the year that you turn 55, there is no early withdrawal penalty. But for those employees who leave when they're 50 or 52 or 48, they do have to be more careful. And with the law enforcement folks, some of them are under the impression, because I guess there was something come out from the IRS that's in publication 575, it says if you're a public safety employee, you might be exempt. But if you read that carefully, that's not necessarily true, is it, Tom?
That's absolutely right, Tammy. And I believe it was the Pension Protection Act of 06, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right.
That had that provision in it. And we've heard this question a number of times, not recently, because we thought we had kind of put it away. But then you mentioned this
came up last week.
Came up again, right? There is a special provision in that act that affects state and municipal employees and distributions they receive early from their defined benefit plans. So that misses the mark of the TSP on two counts. First of all, the TSP is available to federal employees, not state and municipal employees. And secondly, the TSP is a defined contribution plan, not a defined benefit plan. So what we have done is we've put together, and it's up on our website, what we call our tax notice, which explains generally, and not in the detail that Bob was just suggesting he gets into, generally what these tax provisions are, including a special section on the early withdrawal penalty and some exceptions that do exist. And it's a four-page document. It notes that there is a special treatment for members of the uniformed services. It does not note that there's any special treatment for law enforcement, firefighters, or air traffic controllers. And the reason it does not note that is because there is not any special mm-hmm. treatment for those folks. There are a number of ways you can withdraw your money from the TSP. As a law enforcement firefighter or air traffic controller, that does not generate the early withdrawal penalty. If you purchase an annuity, that does not generate the early withdrawal penalty. If you take out monthly payments based on your life expectancy, that does not create the early withdrawal penalty. Or you can take all of your money and transfer it to an IRA. That type of withdrawal does not generate it because you're moving it to another tax deferred account. But other than that, if you're going to take funds early, and in this case, if you retire or separate before age 55, you have to wait until age 59 and a half to take it out in unrestricted form and avoid the tax penalty.
I think there's a little logic to that, too, because of the fact that if you're retiring at 50 or 52 from the federal government, chances are you may not be retiring from all work.
So you
may move on to another career, which means you're not going to really start to use your savings for retirement yet.
I think that's exactly the point, Tammy, as well as the fact that retirement is a long period, just as your work life is a long period. Hopefully your retirement
will
be a long
period. Money might have to last 50 years.
It might have to last a long time, right. And your uncle has given you a tax break for many years while you've been working in exchange for this kind of agreement that you are going to use that throughout your period of retirement to support yourself. And so that's why the streams of payment are not subject to the early withdrawal penalty.
So can I make it really simple?
Sure.
If you see public safety employee, don't go any further. You don't qualify.
Right.
If you see public safety officer, you qualify for something else that's got nothing to do with this. And that would include the feds. The employee doesn't. We have a caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry. All this is good. Some of it takes longer to discuss than others.
I've got a follow-on question to a previous caller. I'm CSRS and going to retire at the end of this year with 39 years. I'm looking to use my TSP money in just discretionary. And if I was in an IRA, I could withdraw that whenever I felt like it, $5,000 here, $5,000 there. I understand the TSP, I can't treat it like that. I can't treat it like a bank account.
That's correct, yes, because it's not a bank account. It's a retirement savings account, so the withdrawal options are laid out in the law, and those withdrawal options are basically you can take the entire thing, transfer it if you like, or just have a big party. You can have us purchase an annuity for you, or you can take a series of substantially equal payments. Now, we've made some changes over the years that make it a more flexible tool. You can change the amount that you receive as a monthly payment each once a year. However, you cannot just go in and do the odd withdrawal here or there. One exception to that, if you do not take an age-based withdrawal while you're employed, you can take a one-time partial withdrawal from the TSP, and a number of folks do that, but that's the only
exception. Let's revisit your couple sentences before. Now, you all might get mad at me with this one, but under the series of monthly payments, one is based on a lifetime, you're locked and loaded, this is what you get based on a mathematical formula. The other one Tom just mentioned is where you can change your mind once a year as to what you want in a monthly amount. So we'll get back to the original question. I want to take out a chunk. Take the, let's call it the B option, where you direct the amount of money to come out and have it the least amount that you can. How much is that?
25 bucks.
$25 a month. So you keep it at that, and then if you need money, buy a car, put a roof on a house, and you jack the payment up for a year, and then you bring it back down to 25.
You can do
it. Now, these guys are staring bullets through me, but...
you can do it.
You can do it. So if you're really enamored with the thrift, which you should be, you might still be able to do what you want to do, but maybe not quite what you want to do. Did that make sense?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
I guess the other, the follow-on question then becomes, where do I look for the instructions on rolling over my TSP into a conventional IRA?
The information is on the website. It's just a normal withdrawal form. I think that's the TSP 70.
Yeah, I did it when I left the government. It was very simple. It was the TSP 70 form is the TSP form, and then my IRA also had a form that I had to fill out to send to the thrift. So there was basically two forms. And it went very smoothly.
Yeah, there is a form on the website to facilitate that transaction. And the only thing I caution people about is just do it with your eyes wide open in terms of the fees that are assessed by any institution relative to the TSP should be part of the calculation.
And two things I'll add to that is, number one, when you leave federal service, if you're leaving, let's say, December 31st, don't send the form in December 31st. I'd say wait at least a month, because you want your payroll office to separate you from the payroll so the TSP knows you've left, and then they'll process your withdrawal. So I'd say wait till you get your annual leave check is probably a safe bet. Yeah. And then the second thing is, take advantage of that one-time partial withdrawal so that you can still leave money in the TSP. So if you should change your mind later, you say, boy, the fees are so high on this IRA, I didn't realize it, then you could transfer that money back to the TSP, I think. Can you do that? If you've moved it out, can you move it back in?
Yes, you can transfer.
As long as you haven't closed your account.
From a traditional Roth.
Right. IRA.
Traditional IRA back to the traditional
TSP. With the
TSP
60, but only the taxable amount, right? You can't put the non-taxable in there.
Yes.
And which actually provides a lot of neat stuff you can do with a Roth IRA. But we got 2 minutes, and we're not going to do that in 2 minutes, I don't think. We could do it on another show, though. All right, I think we just got a call, and it's going to have to be a fast one. Andrew, did we get one? Okay, no. Okay. Well, we got less than a minute and a half left. Greg, final comments?
I just want to encourage our participants out there to participate in the TSP and ask questions. This is a great program that I am proud to help run, and what we struggle with the most is making sure that people participate at the right amounts, and then make smart decisions when they are reaching retirement and taking the money out. To the extent that we can help with that, we are thrilled to do it, and thank you very much for your efforts, because it helps us do a better job.
Boy, thanks for coming on the show. We never get as many hits as we do when you guys come. Tom, final comments. Final comments.
I guess I would echo what Greg says. I'm, as Tammy mentioned earlier, I'm finishing up my federal career at the end of the year. 25 years here with the TSP. 5 years on Capitol Hill, a couple of years with the Park Service. It's been a great run, but probably the most rewarding has been the TSP, because we really do provide a good benefit for people as they to take advantage of, and as we say, retire in dignity. And it's been a blast and an honor to do that.
Okay, Tammy, you and I got to...
TSP.gov.
Okay, great. Ann,
bye-bye. Bye-bye. No words of advice today.
Okay, but hopefully you'll come back on, too. Thanks for listening. Next week, we have Nick Onder. For those of you who didn't get through, financial planner, glad to talk to you about that and many other things. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Join 36,000 people from around the world, including senior leaders from the Army, DOD, and Congress, at the 2011 AUSA Annual Meeting and Exposition. This professional development forum.